given to us by our spiritual director, Reverend Glenda Davis.
Thank you. Thank you, Daryl. Daryl has a gig in Tallahassee that he needs to leave right after the service for, so don't get in his way. He might run you down. He has to be back in Tallahassee by 3 o'clock, so that's 3 o'clock Tallahassee time. So we're grateful that you came over. Thank you, Daryl. Okay, so God talks to the heart. This month, the month of April, we're talking about our oneness with the divine. Now, we already are one with the divine. We already are that place where humanity and divinity meet. It's our true self. That's who we really are. In some traditions, it's called your Christ self. It's called your Buddha self. In the Hindu tradition, it's called Atman. So as we wake up to this truth about ourselves, as we wake up and remember who we are, we realize that we are here to be distributing centers for all that God is. We're here to be distributing centers for love, for peace, for wisdom, for all good. So this awareness comes about for us as we practice dwelling in that place that the Bible refers to as the secret place of the Most High. We call it our spiritual practice, our meditation practice, our prayer, our inspirational reading, whatever it takes to raise us up above the conditions that may be appearing in our lives to that awareness of our oneness. That is where we are longing to be. That is where humanity and divinity meet. So that's our divine heritage. That's our divine birthright to be in that state of consciousness. And this is called living from the heart level, the soul, the spirit level. There's many different ways to describe this. And it's much more than just a mental practice. Although we do have to teach our thinking to be in alignment with that, it's much more than just a mental practice. We can intellectually understand something, but then we might have trouble feeling it, embodying it, living it from our heart center. The Sioux Indians have a saying that the longest journey in the world is the 18 inches from the head down into the heart, the 18 inches from the head to the heart. So this journey usually comes about, the culmination of this journey often comes about through some kind of earth-shattering experience. Sometimes something that brings us close to death can bring us into this realization. Or sometimes it just comes from spending enough time in this earthly suit, this body suit, that we mellow, and we just kind of mellow and ease into an awareness of our oneness with God. And so that's what we're going to talk about a little bit this morning, how to find that place in the heart and how to listen as it speaks to us. The Center for Spiritual Living teaches something called Science of Mind. And the Spiritual Enrichment Center is home to two organizations. We're home to Unity and the Centers for Spiritual Living. Now, Science of Mind is really not the complete name for the teaching. The actual name is the Science of Mind and Spirit. The Science of Mind and Spirit, because we know that it includes the mind as well as the heart. So we have to trust that the heart will show us how to understand with the mind. It takes both working together to produce results. And there's a little equation. Yeah, I noticed it was in the bulletin, in the place at the bottom. Debbie put something down here that coincides with our talk. And so the equation is thought plus feeling equals results. So we have to have the thought, we have to have the feeling, and then that produces the results that we want in our lives. So a life led by the heart looks quite different from a life led by the head. The heart is backed by the infinite presence. And a life lived from the head is usually coming from ego or the ideas of others, what they think should be happening. And that can lead to a life of confusion, a life of frustration. So as we It may be following the rules written by society, but it isn't necessarily the way life really works. Have you discovered that in your own life, that if you try to live by the expectations around you, that it can lead to a sense of frustration? But if you go and follow your own heart, you know you're in the right space. So follow your heart, and that will carry you through your life. There's an institute called the Institute of Heart Math. How many of you have heard about that? Good, okay. The Institute of Heart Math is a research organization, and it's done research on this brain-body-heart connection. And one of the experiments that they did was they wired people up to instruments. They put little things on their head, little electrodes on their head, and then some things on their heart to judge their responses to things, and they showed them pictures. Well, what they discovered in this process is that the heart would react before the picture came. The heart would have a reaction before the picture, and then the picture would come and the brain would see it, and that would coordinate with that reaction from the heart. So what they surmised from that is that the heart is based on an intelligence that doesn't know time or space, that it goes beyond time or space, and that as we listen to that, it's leading and guiding us forward. Now, you may have already discovered this in your life when you just knew something before it happened. It might be more than 20 seconds. It might be hours or even days before it happened. But you just had an inner knowing about something. And sometimes it gave you some instructions as to how to self-correct, how to monitor the way you were going. How many of you have been aware of a situation like that where you knew something ahead of time? Lots of us, right. Okay, so this is a very common experience for humans, although we have the ability to block that connection. But animals have it too. Any pet owner can tell you that it seems like sometimes their pet is waiting at the window for them when they come home, even though they didn't know exactly what was going to happen. They just had some kind of inner knowing that it's about time for her to get here. It's about time for him to be here. Now, pet owners have explanations for this. Sometimes they say, my pet knows how to tell time. Well, I think it might be a little bit more than that. I think they just have a inner resonance with what's happening before it actually appears. I had an experience of this a few years back. I was waiting in the vet waiting room with our cat for a checkup. And the vet's office was way off the road, way off the highway. And my cat was sleeping peacefully in her cat carrier. Everything was just calm as could be. And all of a sudden she woke up very agitated, very excited and anxious, and started meowing and crying and carrying on. And in a couple, 3 minutes, about as long as it took for the car to turn into that road and get out and come in comes an owner with a great big dog. Well, my cat already knew that that dog was going to be coming into her space from way up at the highway, you know, a quarter of a mile away. So that showed me that she was in tune with something that I wasn't yet aware of, but it was something that was important to her, so she was reacting to it. So that's that direct line of wisdom that the heart has, that is not limited by time or space. We can call it intuition. We can call it instinct, which we do in animals. We can call it ESP. But it's something that is speaking to us, that is leading, that is guiding us. It can make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. Have you ever had that happen? Or goosebumps appear on your arms when you go, ooh, I just knew that. I just knew that. So that's how the message goes from the heart to the brain down into the body through those visceral signals. When we stay open to the heart, we are led, guided, and directed into right action. We're directed into creativity. We're directed into all the answers that we need. But we're the only species that knows how to interrupt that, to cut that off. And so we have a responsibility to keep the lines open, to keep the heart open, so that we can be led, guided, and directed. Because we all have that natural instinct, but we have the ability to cut it off, to interfere with it. It's because we forget the element that we're living in. Now, a bird knows that it lives in the air. That's its element. And a fish knows that it swims in the water. That's the fish's element. We have our element, too. It's the presence and power of divine spirit. It's invisible, but to the bird, the air is invisible. To the fish, the water is invisible. That's just the way it is. For us, this presence and power of the divine, surely the presence of God is in this place. That is always there. And the more we tune into that, the more we remember that, the more it becomes our actual experience in our lives. Daryl will often say when he's communicating with me during the week that he's going to see what spirit brings forth. He's going into his heart. I know what he's doing. He calls it the upper room. He says, I'll go to the upper room and I'll see what spirit wants to reveal today. We all have that ability and we all use it in varying degrees. So our spiritual journey is the process of waking up to that, waking up to who we really are. Lao Tzu, a 6th century Chinese philosopher who's credited with writing the Tao Te Ching, says that we are here to learn three spiritual things. He said the first thing that we're to learn is simplicity. That is direct living, just simple, direct living. The second thing is patience. Most of our frantic, frenetic thinking that it has to be done now is not true. Unless you can't breathe or you're bleeding very badly, it can wait. It can wait. There's no urgency. And the third thing that we're here to learn is compassion. Compassion is just being here. Being here with ourselves, being here with each other, just being that presence for each other. But the ego, which is the head when it's disconnected from the heart, can sabotage us in these three simple lessons. It can reframe them, and it can say that simplicity doesn't work. You need more. You need more, more, more. You need to compete with others to get more of a share. That is not true. That's just the ego's way of trying to sabotage your lesson in spiritual connection. It also tells us that patience is just another word for laziness. You should be doing something all the time. You should be busy. You should be doing something. That's not true. They also serve who only sit and wait. Sometimes waiting is the very best thing that we could be doing. And compassion can be reframed by the ego as sentimentality, just being corny or mushy or overly sentimental. So the lessons of the heart of simplicity, patience, and compassion can be sabotaged by the ego. We have to be aware of what we're listening to. Are we listening to God speaking through our heart? Or are we listening to the ego that wants for more, more, more for itself? Because it feels separate. It feels separate from our God self. We have a life to live, and our heart has the answers. Our heart has the answers to whatever is coming into our experience. So learning to listen to the heart and develop those soul qualities helps us to develop those qualities of the heart that can always be there for us. I'm confronted each week with fear around creating these talks for you. I have to admit it. That's the truth. I'm sure a lot of you have a little bit of apprehension about public speaking. Well, I'm no exception. So every time that I'm preparing for this, I'm wondering, will I be able to express myself today clearly so that somebody will get something from this? Will I be able to open up my heart and share my soul? So every week I have to go inside and spend time in that silence, reflecting and listening and hearing and trying to bring up the wisdom that Spirit is giving to me and bringing it out through my head so I can write it down and then I can deliver it to you. I have to be still. Be still and know. So whatever is confronting you in your life, whatever challenges you have, maybe you need to be creative for some project that you're involved in or some business dealing or something, some relationship, whatever it is that you're dealing with, the heart has the answer. The heart has the answer. So we can't do it without that heart connection, without that inspiration and intuition of spirit. I just have to get still. I have to get still long enough to relax my fear, to let that resonance in my head slow down and not drown out the intuition that I can't, so that I can't hear above it. God speaks to me through my heart. God speaks to you through your heart, but we have to be still enough to listen. I see people putting on jackets, so I'm going to go over here and turn this up a little bit. And you might want to turn off that. Yeah. It's that time of year in Alabama where we don't know if we need the heat or the air conditioner. So we came in this morning and it felt like we needed a little bit of heat, and then we turned on the air conditioner, and so here we are. So our minds can understand wholeness. We can talk about wholeness. We can talk about oneness. You can say, oh yeah, I got that. But only the heart can experience oneness. So that's what our spiritual practices are all about. That's why we meditate. That's why we pray. That's why we spend time in the silence, to remember that truth of who we are, to reconnect with our heart. So no matter how big the storm around you may be, remember that in the heart, in the midst of every storm, there's a quiet center. Every storm has a center, and you can find that center. In a hurricane, sometimes they've seen seagulls actually flying through the very eye of the hurricane. That's how powerful that stillness is. You have a stillness within your storms that you can learn to fly right through. So finding that stillness, finding that center, can be as simple as your breath. Your breath you always have with you. So if you can practice breathing in to the count of five and breathing out to the count of five, that will center you into that place within. And while you're breathing into the count of five and out to the count of five, you remember that your element is divine spirit. You're living, moving, having your being in that divine spirit. Do this many times during the day until you're living in that being. That's what's called praying without ceasing. Praying without ceasing. Continually reminding yourself. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to take 20 minutes of meditation 10 times a day. Nobody much has the time to do that unless we're living in a monastery or a cave someplace. But most of us who are householders in our modern day have to find space for in little increments. So as you're walking to your car, you can be breathing. You have to breathe anyway. You might as well make it effective. And you, when you're going from one task to another, you can breathe and remember that presence. Pretty soon those little times kind of link together, and you're living in that state of enlightenment on a regular basis. So synchronicity is when we wind up at the right time in the right place. Synchronicity is part of that listening to our hearts. Roland McCarty is the vice president of research for heart math. And he says that he starts every day with a heart lock-in. He says he locks into his heart, he feels love and appreciation, he remembers the truth of who he is, he remembers to appreciate himself and life. He starts the day coherent, composed, and connected. Coherent, composed, and connected. Okay, then throughout the day, he says he reboots that connection. We have to reboot our computers. Why not our own spiritual system? He reboots that connection in those in-between moments, those in-between moments when he's walking from his desk to the copier or from his office out to his car. Whatever he's doing, he's rebooting that connection all the time. If we can calm down, slow down, be peaceful enough, we can learn what the heart is trying to tell us. How to be good neighbors, how to be good parents, how to be good partners to one another, how to be good human beings, because we listen. We aren't interested in putting out our voice. That's what we do plenty of, isn't it? Giving advice. I was reading this really good article about how to be with a grieving friend, and it said, just be there, just listen in compassion. Don't try to say anything. Don't try to fix it. Just be there for them. Just listen. And that's the same thing that spirit requires, is that we just listen. We just be there. Ernest Holmes, the founder of religious science, science of mind, said, Jesus spent much of his time communing with his own soul, for it is through our inner thought that we connect with God. He went on to say, call it conscience, intuition, or what you will, it is there. No person need to go unguided through life, for all are divine at the center, and all are images of the Most High. We don't have to go unguided through our life. It's there for us. It's waiting to lead and guide us and speak to us. Our heart is our guru. Your heart is the guru that you've been waiting for, the guru that you've been looking for. You don't have to look any further. It's right here. It's always with you. And the heart knows all the answers. So you can ask, and then you can listen to receive your guidance. The heart connects us to our center, not just the voice of our personality or our ego. This is a different way of moving through the world, a different way of being. So if you've been used to listening to all that mind chatter, that journey down into the heart can take some time. It can take some practice. It can take some repetition, some rebooting to remember who you are and keep listening to that. As we begin to live from the heart, others can feel that, and they are empowered to live from their heart also. It creates a ripple effect that goes out from us to others, and then those ripples come back to us, so we benefit too. Can you imagine a world where everyone was living from their heart? Won't that be a joyous experience when everyone learns this and lives from their heart? Everyone can go to their heart and ask it to speak to them. Michael Beckwith says that every day he wakes up and asks Spirit for his assignment for that day. So we can wake up and ask Spirit, okay, Spirit, what's my assignment for today? As we follow that aliveness in our heart, it will lead us to our purpose. Some of the biggest questions of the heart unfold as a path rather than just an answer. It's a path. So follow your awareness, follow your aliveness, not thinking about what you're trying to become, but what brings you alive. Howard Thurman was an African-American philosopher, theologian, educator, and civil rights leader. He died April 10th, 1981, so this past week we were celebrating the anniversary of his death. He was the dean of chapel at Howard University and also Boston University for 20 years. And in 1944, he co-founded San Francisco's Church for the Fellowship of All People. It was the first integrated, interfaith congregation in the United States. And here's what Howard Thurman said. Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go and do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. People who have come alive. So what makes you feel alive? Go and do that. So yes, God does speak to our heart. Here's what Ernest Holmes said again about that in the textbook. By some inner mystic presence, I was told to live and to love, to laugh and to be glad. I was told to be still and know of the one almighty power in and through all. I was told to let that power work through and in me. I believed that voice, and I received my good. I believed that voice. I received my good. So now I have some call-to-action challenges for you to practice this next week. The first one is practice the presence of Spirit with your breath, remembering to breathe in consciously to the count of five, and out consciously to the count of five as you're going about your daily business, as you're moving from one activity to another. Remember Spirit. Bring Spirit into every activity. Feel that connection. The second thing is find the peace, the calm at the center of whatever storm you may be experiencing in that moment. The center is calm. The center is peaceful. You can find that calm. You can find that peace. And when you wake up in the morning, ask Spirit, what's my assignment for today? And listen, and then go forth and do that. And then find something every day that makes you come alive. What makes you come alive and do that? Yesterday, what made me come alive was writing this talk. I really love to do it because I go deep and I make that connection. Then this morning I thought, what am I going to do this morning that'll make me feel alive? So I painted my fingernails. It doesn't have to be complicated. What makes you feel alive and joyful? Go out and do that. So we have an affirmation for today. I am guided and supported by divine love every day in every way. I trust and live a fulfilled life from my heart. Let's read it together. I am guided and supported by divine love every day in every way. I trust and live a fulfilled life from the heart. And so it is. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, let's close with prayer, going into our heart, feeling that oneness, finding that connection, knowing that even if we don't feel it in the moment, it hasn't gone anyplace. As we just relax into those everlasting arms, it is there holding us up, that presence, that power. And as we continually practice finding that presence, it becomes more real in our experience in every moment. I am so grateful that we have this opportunity to feel, to acknowledge that presence and power of the divine in every way. I am so grateful that that presence and power lives within and is always speaking to us through our heart, through our conscience, through our intuition, through that inner guidance. We can listen to that. We can be led, guided, and directed. I know that it is with us always, and we are daily, momently, hourly finding our way back to that calm, quiet center where all is truly well. Thank you, Divine Spirit, and thank you for always speaking to our heart. We are grateful, and so it is. Amen.